It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Spring 2021, a mechanical engineer, originally from Illinois, is visiting Yosemite National Park for the first time. He's in awe of the scenery, not so much all the trash around him. Food containers, wrappers, and because this is peak COVID, a lot of masks. As he pokes at a tissue with his trekking pole, he has a light bulb moment. What if these poles, carried by countless hikers, could more effectively help us pick up trash, and in so doing, clean up our parks? That engineer is John McShane, and his idea became Clean Trek, attachments that turn trekking poles into litter collection tools. He's working to bring the product to market through the platform Kickstarter. The campaign is live now. I first learned about this from a YouTube channel I follow called Hiking Guy. Full disclosure, I am backing the project on Kickstarter because I like the idea, but even before it went live, I found out McShane was from Illinois. I thought it'd be interesting to talk with him about this journey. So with that, John McShane, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited about this.
And listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. We're only on this for about the next 13 minutes or so, so don't wait. But if you have experience with litter on the trail, what is that like? Are you the type of person who picks up trash on the side of the road? 800-222-9455 is the number. All right, I'm going to ask you about your background in Illinois. Like, what first drew you to the outdoors? Is that something you picked up here?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, or, you know, north suburbs of Chicago, up in like around Lake Beach, which is kind of by Gurnee, if you know that area. But yeah, I would say really it was just in the backyard with my brother, like catching frogs, toads, snakes, all that stuff. You know, he was like, my brother was super into Animal Planet, and we were just always trying to like, I don't know, catch an interesting bug or animal or something. And so I would say that's mostly where my interest came from. Aside from that, I would say when we went on trips, like the first big trip I could think of that was just, you know, really took my breath away was going to Smoky Mountain National Park. Just being up in the mountains, seeing like the clouds rolling over the hills and things, yeah, like I said, kind of took my breath away. And so I think I just naturally kind of took to that over time and just realized it was, you know, something very sacred and something that needs to be protected.
What about engineering? How did you develop an interest in engineering?
Yeah, it's funny because like I feel like so many engineers that I know, when you ask them that question, they'll say, oh, like I grew up putting together Legos and like taking things apart and putting them back together. I didn't do any of that stuff. I really just like really took to physics in high school. I mean, I always liked math and science, but when I took physics in high school, it was like, wow, this is so cool. I can like predict what's going to happen with such accuracy. And just, it was just something I was good at and enjoyed. And so I decided that that was something I wanted to apply to solutions. You know, like you can potentially make an impact on the world by basically applying those physics fundamentals and engineering fundamentals.
No offense to all the biologists and chemists out there, but physics really is the best science. I got to agree with you on that. What about mechanical engineering? So how do you end up in that sub-discipline, right? Because there's so many different types of engineering you can
study. There's so many. I mean, honestly, in high school, I was like, I didn't even know what engineering was until I was probably a junior or so. And I think mechanical, naturally, it's just like such a tangible field of engineering. And I don't think I was really too familiar with what the other fields even were, to be honest with you. I just think I was so excited about the prospect of mechanical engineering based on, like I said, I enjoyed physics and I enjoyed the very like physical parts of physics. And so it just felt like a good fit and I never really questioned it. You know, I was also, what, like 16, 17 years old. So I don't know, like there probably are different fields that I could have also enjoyed, but mechanical engineering is just so vast, right? I mean, you could be like, I don't know, the Clean Trek, right? It's like purely mechanical. I could be working on that. I could be making like a vacuum cleaner, or I could be doing what I was doing before Clean Trek, like aerospace and like vibration testing. It's just like you can do so much with it. And I think because I'm someone who is a little bit indecisive, and I kind of have a lot of interests. I like a lot of different things. I'm a little bit more of like a jack of all trades as opposed to like becoming very specialized. I just think it's a good field for me in that respect because I can kind of do so many different things with it.
All right, so I briefly mentioned that visit to Yosemite in 2021. Talk more about what you saw on that trip.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I noticed really was it wasn't even on the trails necessarily. It was like at the visitor center. And by the way, this is my first time at Yosemite ever. Growing up in Illinois, I was like so excited to be in Yosemite and just had kind of put this image in my mind of what it was going to be like. And it was beautiful, don't get me wrong. But, I'm standing at
So
this
many
visitor center
people,
looking at the
so
garbage
many
can.
people.
What's that?
There's so many people. I had the same experience. Grew up in Illinois, my first visit, I had this majestic image and it's just filled. There's people everywhere.
Oh yeah,
So,
you know what?
yeah.
Actually, when I went, it was in like March of 2021, and I think because it was still on
Oh,
the tail end
okay.
of COVID and also wasn't peak season, that actually wasn't necessarily my experience. It wasn't like jam-packed or anything like that. It was really just that, like, there's a garbage can at the visitor center, like outdoors, right? And within like a 3 to 5 foot perimeter. There's just a bunch of litter and like no one's picking it up. Everyone's just kind of looking at it. Everyone's just kind of walking by. And it just kind of baffled me because I'm like, well, like, shouldn't we pick this up? Like, isn't this like the most beautiful place in America? Like, shouldn't we be doing something? But then I couldn't even bring myself to do it, right? I'm like, I don't want to catch COVID. I don't want to touch that. Like, that's like a food wrapper that maybe has like some ketchup still on it. Like, I'm not touching that. That's disgusting. And so I just kind of had a reckoning of like, okay, well, I'm someone who really cares about this stuff, but if I'm not picking it up, then who on earth is, right? Like, how many hundreds of people walk past this without doing anything, and isn't that a problem? And so basically, so I noticed this at the visitor center. I noticed it when I was hiking. I realized I don't really want to interrupt my hike. Like, I'm here to enjoy myself. I've got a busy life. I'm on vacation. Like, I don't want to be like, the janitor of Yosemite going around picking things up, stuffing my pockets. Like, I don't have a good place to put it. I don't want to touch this thing. It could be hazardous. Could catch COVID. So as I'm going through in my head, I'm just thinking like, what is the solution, right? What are my options? One option would be, okay, I could hike around with like litter cleanup gear. I could have like tongs or like some other kind of trash grabber, or I could have like a bag with me. But as I'm going through this thought process, I'm just being honest with myself. I'm like, I don't really want to hike with any of that stuff, right? Like, I want something that like naturally fits into my hiking setup, something that blends in. And something that makes it like a no-brainer to pick up the litter. Like, what would that look like? And so, as you mentioned, I was hiking with trekking poles. My wife and I, we like to hike with poles. And so I was poking a piece of litter, and I just thought, like, I am about 90% of the way to picking this up. Like, what if I just had a little arm on the end of my pole to pick it up? And it started out as just kind of like an idea for myself, because as a mechanical engineer, I'm like, I could prototype something like that. Like, that's not too challenging, I don't think. So I bought myself a 3D printer. I kind of got to work. And like I said, it started out as just for me. I was like, this is something I would use. It'd be kind of fun. Maybe some other people would like it too. But then eventually, once the design came far enough along, I was like, oh no, this is actually coming along really well. I think this could be a real product. And obviously, if I can get these products out into the world, then I'm sort of multiplying my impact, right? Like, rather than me just picking up a few things on a hike, what if 100 people could pick up things on a hike who don't normally pick things up? So that's kind of how this got started, and the mission behind all of it.
Yeah, so what are some of the engineering challenges, right? So, and maybe we should just describe how it works briefly for people. It's got two main components.
So there's two main products. And so the first is the grabber, which, as the name implies, it basically converts your trekking pole into a grabber. So there's a trigger up on the top that clamps, and so that it's an adjustable clamp, so it fits to any trekking pole. And there's no tools required or anything. It's all very simple. And then on the bottom of your trekking pole has basket threads, and those are intended to attach snow or mud baskets. So those little like rubber satellite dish looking things that I basically meant so like if you're hiking in deep snow or mud, your pole's not just going to sink through all the way, right? It has a little bit of surface area to catch it. But I'd say like majority of the time you don't really need those. And so what I've done is repurposed those basket threads for just a little grabber arm, as I described before. It's very lightweight, very simple, but it just rotates around and contacts the end of your trekking pole. And so when you're not hiking, it's sticking totally vertically, so it's out of the way. It's not interfering with your hike. But when you press this trigger, which connects to the grabber with a cord, just like I don't need to get all technical with it. It's basically like a paracord, more or less. It rotates the arm and yeah, basically acts as a grabber. You can pinch things, grab things,
Yeah.
pick it up.
And for the sake
So
of time, I'll just fast forward because we are short on time. I'll say
oh,
the
sure.
other side has like a little collection basket, right? If people want that, it's optional, so they don't have to carry like the hefty bag or whatever with them.
Exactly. It's
Yeah. And
a collapsible bag essentially that can hold the litter on the other pole.
so, Bri, what has it been like? I mean, you're trained as an engineer. What has it been like figuring out the business side of this and dealing with, Kickstarter and trying to convince people to, to support this thing that it's really a risk, right? I mean, that's part of the Kickstarter thing. You have to acknowledge what your risks are and how it may not happen and yada yada.
Yeah, no, it's a super tough transition. I mean, I've been wearing a lot of hats. I mean, this whole project has been solo. And so, yeah, there's just so much to learn. Thankfully, there's been like so many free resources. I mean, I live in San Diego, but as far as I know, these free resources are pretty widely available. Like SBDC, it's like the Small Business Development Center. And so, yeah, I've had help from like mentors and things, and that's been very helpful. But no, it's definitely a risk. I just think that the way that I view this is kind of back to my roots of like the original idea, right? Like fundamentally, I'm doing this I wanted this product for myself, and I wanted to maybe share it with like a few people. So at the end of the day, like despite all the risks, even if I sold like 10 of these, it's still a win in my book. Like it's still worth spending the last 2 years doing this and all the personal investment into it. To me, it's worth it. And so to me, selling more than that is really just like a cherry on top. And I obviously hope to launch this into a business. Yeah, that fundamental driving principle kind of keeps me going. But
Yeah, I
no,
see
the
you're up
Kickstarter
to.
is.
Sorry to
Oh,
say,
sorry.
I see you're up to 168 backers on Kickstarter, so congrats on that. I mean, is
Oh,
the
thank
goal
you.
to end up in REI or places like that?
Eventually, yeah, you got to get your the cost down is the thing. So like when you're selling at a retailer, they obviously have to make a profit too. So if they're going to sell it for like $40, they want to buy it from you for $20, which means you got to make it for like $5. You know what I'm saying? So if you're selling direct on your website, you don't have all those markups. And so in the early stages, while the cost to make these is a little bit higher because I'm not making so many, yeah, I have no choice really but to sell on my website. Otherwise, you'd be buying it for like an absurd price. So yeah, there's so many decisions that go into this, and it's so challenging between I've never even launched a product before. Here I am trying to do so amidst like all the tariffs and everything like this. Just a lot of uncertainty, and it's just a lot to navigate, where to manufacture, how to go about it. And so yeah, the Kickstarter is just kind of a way to alleviate some of that because I'm raising the money up front so that I'm not putting myself at personal risk so much. I'm able to raise the money and then kind of navigate this and figure it out. So.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your journey and this idea with us today. Like I said, full disclosure, I'm a backer on Kickstarter, so I hope it does go through for you and me. And with that,
Yeah.
I'll say John McShane of Clean Trek. They are attachments. They turn trekking poles into litter collection devices. Thanks so much for being with us on the 21st show.
Thanks so much, Brian. Appreciate it.
That's all the time we have for today. Coming up on the program next week, we'll mark the 40th anniversary of Farm Aid, the mega concert that took over Memorial Stadium in Champaign in 1985. Plus, we'll consider whether government policy might be pushing more and more farmers into trouble today. We'll also talk about the state of the economy, especially as it relates to jobs and employment, and we'll consider a study that looks at the role of mainstream media sources in the 2022 Republican primary for Illinois governor. The author of that contends traditional media, including public radio, operated in such a way that it disproportionately benefited Darren Bailey. It's all coming up next week on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.